Today's reading of the scripture is actually from the book of John, all right? Chapter 12, 20 to 25. All right? Let's open our Bibles and let's read together. All right, ready? Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves his life and will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for all eternity." May God bless the reading of his word. This is an incredible passage, all right? You can imagine, all right, that there was a festival, all right? And there was Greeks among this festival, all right? And some of them straggled along and then bumped into Jesus' disciples, Philip, all right? And this gentleman asked Philip, all right, "I'd like to see Jesus." And for some reason, all right, Philip didn't go directly to Jesus. Interesting, right? He didn't take the, oh yeah, Jesus is right there. In turn, Philip went to tell Andrew. And then both of them, all right, went to see Jesus. I think, actually, Jesus was probably not in the best of mood. He usually is a very peaceful kind of person. But I think at this moment, he was in a very intense time. It's probably one of the most intense times he can ever, and you and I can imagine. Why? Because he was contemplating. And he knew that for your sins and mine, that he was going to suffer the most horrific death, the death on the cross. So if I was Philip, I would go, "Whoa, I don't know if I want to bother Jesus. I better tell Andrew. Maybe me and Andrew, we can go together, and along with the Greek." So they did. When they saw Jesus, he replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed." And you know who he's talking about. Who is that kernel? Who is that kernel? He is talking about himself. He's not even talking about you and I. He is talking about that he must die for our sins. And he was very sober because he was purely God, he was holy God and holy human. And he knew in the depths of his bone, in his humanity, he knew he had to go to the cross and suffer all that the cross would pour out on him. But he went forth. And the truth is proclaimed that unless he died, we cannot have life. We cannot have life. And may we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, kind of grasp that the whole sermon could be over if you understood that. That like Jesus, you and I cannot have real, true life unless we die. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you humbly, beseeching and begging the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to quicken this incredible truth that to have true life in Jesus, we must die to self. We have the greatest example in our loving Lord Jesus Christ that he was willing to die to have true life, to give us true life. So may the Spirit, Lord God, quicken our hearts to embrace this death. The world tells us not to go that way. The world tells us that we could take our lives in our own hands and to have joy. But that is not true. That is a lie. And by the Spirit, I pray that we will embrace like Christ, the death that we are called to, so we can have life. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story of an experiment. Who likes experiments? I like experiments. I'm as an engineer. I like to play things. I like to take things apart. I like to know the facts of life, all right? So over 40 years ago at Stanford University, actually a long time ago, 1960s. I know nobody knows when 1960 was, back in the ancient days, right? They did a research study, all right? It's called, that's the title. The title is, all right, Life Out of Dying. And this is the face that most of you would make. Goes, how do I get life out of dying? All right. Often I say that's the permanent face of a teenager. Anytime you talk to them, they give you that face. Well, the sermon is how you have to die to have life, dying to live. Right? It's puzzling. But hopefully by the end, it will make some sense to you and you will grasp this truth. All right? So Stanford University out in California, really beautiful campus, I've been there. All right, in 1960, a Stanford professor named Walter Mischel began conducting a series of important psychological studies. All right, during his experiment, Mischel and his team tested hundreds of children, most of them around the age of 4-5 years old. He revealed what is now believed to be one of the most important characteristics for success, health, work, and life. So he measured, goes, what does it take to have people be successful, healthy, and wealthy in life? So this marshmallow experiment goes to this. Have anybody heard of the marshmallow experiment? Okay, you did. Ooh, you did. Okay, cool. So the experiment began by bringing each children into a private room, sitting them down in a chair and placing a marshmallow on the table in front of them. At this point, the researcher offered a deal to the child. The researcher told the child that he was going to leave the room and that if the child did not eat the marshmallow while he was away, then he would be rewarded with a second marshmallow. However, if the child decided to eat the first marshmallow before the researcher came back, then he would not get a second marshmallow. Pretty simple, right? What would you do? So the choice was simple. One treat now or two treats later, all right? The researcher left the room for 15 minutes only. As you can imagine, they filmed the kids. The footage of the children waiting along in that room rather was entertaining. Some of the kids jumped up and ate the marshmallow as soon as the researcher left the room, gobbled it down. Others wiggled and bounced and scowled in their chairs and tried to resist themselves, but eventually gave in to the temptation only a few minutes later. And finally, a few of the children did manage to wait the entire 15 minutes, and they got rewarded the second marshmallow. But that's not the interesting fact. As Stanford University would do, all right? As the years rolled on, the children grew up. The researchers conducted follow-up studies and tracked each of these children's progress in a number of areas, all right? What they found was surprising. The children who were willing to delay gratification, wait the 15 minutes, and receive the second marshmallow ended up having higher SAT scores. I know you guys want higher SAT scores, right? So they end up having higher SAT score, lower level of substance abuse, lower likelihood of obesity, better response to stress, better social skill, and reported to be by their parents, and generally better scores in a range of other life measures. The researchers followed each of these children for over 40 years. What is that saying? All right? That if you and I have the willingness to accept the gospel truth, that death, the hard news that you and I have to die, the hard news that you and I are sinners in desperate need of a God, that if we embrace death, all right, We defer. We face what is difficult. Sitting there, winkling, not eating the marshmallow, and say, yes, there is something in me that needs to die. All right? That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit and invite, because there's something in me that needs to die that I could have true life. If you and I are able to embrace that, our life will open up in an incredible way. How many of you, and I include myself, sometimes we get stuck. I go, I want to be a better person. I want to really love Jesus more. I want to be a better brother to my sister, a better son to my parents. I'd rather be a better worshiper, right? And you get stuck. And I got stuck often is because I am not willing to die to my old ways. But if you and I are willing to die to our ways, we will enjoy worship much more. I would be a better brother to my sister. I would be a better son to my father. Right? So if we can do that. So if delayed gratification of watching TV and get your homework done now, then you will learn that you will have better grades. If you delay gratification of buying the dessert and chip at the store, you'll eat healthier at home. Right? Hey, cool. If you delay the gratification of finishing your workout early and put in a few more reps, you'll be stronger. Simply face the facts, and it'll be greater for you later. All right? So, all right, what is this dying business, okay? The gospel is always the good news. If you're willing to face the real news is death precedes life. For sure, life is there for all those who embrace the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and be willing to die to self. The concept of dying to self is found throughout the whole New Testament. It expresses the true essence of the Christian life, in which we take up the cross and follow Christ. Dying to self is part of being born again. The old self dies, and the new self comes to life. Not only are Christians born again when we come to salvation, but we also continue dying to self as part of the process of sanctification. We are being renewed day by day. As such, dying to self is both a one-time event when we accept Jesus, and a lifelong process, right? When people say, oh, it's great if I die once, but no, it's constant. And then later on, we're going to allude to a living sacrifice, right? We and you and I are supposed to be living sacrifice. And the joke goes, oh, what's wrong with this living sacrifice? It keeps crawling off the altar. It keeps running away, all right? And grasping what we think again. We crawl off the altar, and we don't taste this great life that Jesus has for us, all right? Jesus spoke repeatedly to his disciples about taking up the cross, all right, and follow him. Taking up our cross and follow him. He made it clear that if any would follow him, they would deny himself, and which means giving up their lives. I put this plainly. That means you no longer live for you alone. You are no longer the sole purpose of your life. This was a prerequisite for being a follower of Christ, who proclaims that trying to save our earthly life will result in our losing our life in the kingdom. But those who would give up their life, indeed, Jesus would even so far as to say, those who are unwilling to sacrifice their life for him cannot be his disciples. We cannot be his disciples if we are not willing to die to ourselves. Okay? And this, I love this quote, all right? I mean, there's two passages that really helps me a lot to hang my heart. And what does it mean to die, okay? John 3:30, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. I must become less and less. Even reading it tugs at my heart if I face that truth. But the greater truth is, if he comes become greater, my life is actually greater. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Out of the mercies of God is the only way I can continue being a living sacrifice in this way. What is dying? As such, all right? This is a quote from Dr. D.W. Estrand. Self is no longer the reason. Self is no longer the reason for one's existence. I want to repeat. Self is no longer for the reason for one's existence, such as the individual is no longer considered with his own will or happiness because he is no longer in the picture because we died with Christ. He is no longer the center of his own little universe. He no longer continues to arrange the world around him, but arranges the world around God. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but I ponder on this truth. And you know, Pastor Dan, as a pastor, he gets the joy of reading scriptures day in and day out because he has to meditate on it. And I get the joy of chewing on the scripture because I have to present it to you. This is so a truth. If I want real life, it comes through the beauty, the joy of dying to myself. How many of you sometimes like, you try something, you can't even keep your own promise to yourself, right? You will, because I'm not going to do that again. I'm never going to do it. 2 days later, I did it again, all right? I constantly obsess how what people think of me. I constantly worry about my finances. That's burdensome. Don't you and I want to be more free? And the answer should be absolutely. But it can't be from you and I taking more control. It is to say, Christ has died. He has set the example. But not only in death, there is a celebration to come. All right? So why? Why do we even do this? All right? Why? Simply because the truth stated in John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. All right? Like I alluded earlier, it was a prediction of Jesus' own death. And we all know that the word Christian is meant to be, we are supposed to be little Christ. We are supposed to reflect Christ in our character, our being, the way we live. We are supposed to follow Christ, as you know, as his disciples. All right? So we need to follow his example of willing to die. For the sole reason our Lord gave us the example of his dying so he can have life and we can have life, we need to embrace dying to self. If that alone, we should want to die to ourselves. Forget about what we get out of it, all right? It's simply because we are called to follow him and he set the example. I hate it when people go, just do what I tell you, but they don't do it, right? Don't you hate those people? Oh, eat your veggies, but they don't eat vegetables, all right? Go to sleep early, but they stay up all night. Don't you hate those people? Jesus is far from that. He goes before us. He set the example. If he's calling us to die, he did it first. We need to follow, all right? And if we, and secondly, second reason, all right, Jesus, in Matthew 16:24-25, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. All right? So again, if you and I are to be his disciples, we need to follow in the way of our Lord Jesus. And I believe each and every one of you are called to be his disciples. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's a warning. That is a stern warning that maybe we don't like this uncomfortable dying. I don't. But if I'm called to be a disciple, if you and I want to be his disciple, all right, then we need to die to self. All right? How do we do this? How do we do this? I want to say it is by the mercy of God, not by your own willpower. It's by the mercy of God. It is constantly remembering and preaching the gospel back onto yourself. All right? But here's some practical ways, okay? Matthew 16, 24, 25. Oh, well, is it repeated? Okay. Oh, yeah. It's the same one. It also brings out. We actually need to, how do we do this? Deny ourselves. What it means to deny ourselves. Right? It is, what it means to deny ourselves, it is underneath. It is all about Christ. It's all about putting God's will over our will. It's about putting Christ first above everything else, no matter what it costs. It is the realization that we are his servants. And as such, our goal is to live for him and glorify him in everything we do. All right? So practically, how do we do this? Okay? Remember, it's by the mercy of God. Secondly, I want to make it very practical for you. All right? Well, no, sorry. I want to read these verses too first. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let me just see what the... Okay. So I'm going to try to make it simpler for you. Ask better questions. Ask yourself better questions every day when you are... throughout the day. Instead of asking this question, which all of us commonly ask, what is best for me? What will make me happier? What will make me be more liked? What will make me more attractive? What will make me more successful? What would get me less punishment? All right? It's all the questions. Can you see what's the question in mind? It is all me-centered. All right? If we ask those kind of questions, you are not dying to yourself. You're putting yourself on the throne because you are creating your center of the universe again, and you're not denying yourself. So you ask better questions. The other better question is what the pastor says. Whatever I do, eat, or drink, I do it to the glory of God. Then the question remains, when I make decisions, all right, I do it with the framework, how can I glorify God? How can I be more like Christ? What attitudes can I take on that will reflect Christ's attitudes? What decisions do I make that will please God? Those are the questions that will allow you to come up with the answers of dying. What does it mean to deny yourself? All right? But the funny thing and the good thing is, it doesn't mean you won't be full of joy. Dying to yourself does not mean dying to the good things. All right? Some people say, oh, I will have no joy. That means I'm going to be like, oh, I'm going to be always somber. No. The dying to self is dying to the bad things that pulls you away from God. If certain things like worshiping gives you immense joy, don't die to that. Keep doing it. All right? Get this. If you enjoy ice cream, all right, and you're not like, you know, way yet medical problems, if you enjoy ice cream and you give God glory, enjoy that. That's okay. All right? But if you had too much ice cream and you know that it's not good for your body, say, does this glorify God? I'm not treating the body he has given me, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, well. This is the 8th ice cream. Huh. All right, 7th ice cream. Duh, stop. All right? Think about it. Like choosing a school. Don't choose a school that goes, how can I get into the best school so I can get the best job? Maybe you should choose a school that goes, God has given me certain talents in my life, certain gifts in my life. What school should I choose appropriately to advance those talents I have, to be productive in society, to help others, right? Or your job. Don't pick one that is the most impressive. Certainly, don't pick one that makes you the richest. pick one that says that uses your gift that God has given to you to create and shape a world that is closer to what pleases him. So you ask questions like that. Oh, how to pick a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Right? Don't pick the cutest. Don't pick the most handsome, chunkiest, hunkiest one. Yes, that goes, he would look good at my arm. She would be looking. Oh, if they saw me next to her, everybody's going to be impressed, right? See, me-centered. Maybe if you pick a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you go, I'm broken, he is broken, or she is broken. But I see a character in him that I can build up, and we can mutually exchange a blessing. I am broken, and they're open. Maybe I should look for somebody who I can be a blessing to, and they are a blessing to me. All right? Maybe that's the way to pick a boyfriend and girlfriend, not the most attractive. I did it. I confess. Wrong. Okay? God corrected me. Right? Spending. Okay? I confess. I'm still recovering self-centeredness. Unique Glow is bad for me. It's terrible for me. All right? I am so convicted when I did this sermon. Okay? I go, oh my goodness, just because it's on sale, I don't need to buy it. All right? I have way too much jeans. If I pause and say, do I really need it? The answer is no. I don't need to impress Pastor Dan. Yeah, right? Maybe I need to pause and say, no, I don't need to buy that many clothes because my wife is yelling at me. I'm taking up too much closet space. Yes, I confess. I pause and say, really, I'm dying to myself. I'm dying to myself. I'm not going to go to Uniqlo this week. It's dying to myself. A little, slowly, okay? Slowly, okay? Don't go overboard. Continue to have the attitude. It's not what you do. It's the attitude you do it in, okay? You want to grow towards freedom, right? Okay? I have lots of confessions. Believe me, you're not alone, all right? That's what we need to do. We have to fellowship together in honesty. No one in this room dies that well. That's why we have to encourage, because yes, it is difficult. Share stories how difficult it is for you, but say, I'm going to forge on because of the love of Christ, and I faithfully believe that out of my death, there is life. Not just simply stopping things. There is life that comes out of it. All right? Since I stopped going to Uniqlo that often, I have some extra money. I am actually confessing, I'm not very generous to my sister. I've been paying for her meal for the last 2 weeks. It feels really good. That's out of my comfort zone. I'm dying, man. I'm cheap, okay? All right? But it feels so good to let go of my, possession and counting, to be generous. That is the spirit more like Christ. But the first time, it didn't feel so good. But it feels better as I do it. All right? Choices of movies, what you do on the internet. Ask that question. How is it filling your mind? Is it pleasing to God? The songs you listen to. It might have a good beat, but it might have a bad message. All right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it for the glory of God. That is dying. Take big steps or small ones. Small ones are dying too, okay? Don't let people judge how you die. You have to choose that by asking God, how can I personally glorify God? The way Jose glorified God is a little different to me. Things that he needs to die to, I might not need to die to. Things that I need to die to, Jose might not need to die to. But that's our question before God. How and what do I need to die to have the life of Christ? All right? And the benefit is God is not a cosmic killjoy. God is not a cosmic killjoy. God is the God of the universe, gracious, generous, loving, flowing with mercy and love. All right? He calls us. Every time he calls us to do something, it's never to take away life. It is always, I don't use the word always that often, it is always to give you a better life. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may you be convinced of that. The Bible has some really tough passages to read through. Killing and stuff like that and sacrifice, right? But all of it, if you look at, you must believe in your heart of hearts that when God calls you to do something, it is for your good, his glory, all right? And it is a joyful thing. I have learned the hard way. If I took things into my own hands and not follow God's way, things turn out pretty messy. But when I surrender to God, when I don't even understand, right, somehow there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I don't know how it works. I just continue to do it. All right? So the benefit, all right? Romans 6, 4 to 8. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. There is something new about it. There is, after the death, there is a great resurrection for you and me. All right? For if we have been united with him in his death, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in his resurrection like his. All right? I'm sure that talks about life now and life eternal. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also be with him. That is so amazing if you embrace that. You and I are set free from sin. We are set free from sin. And you might say, oh, I don't feel like I'm free from sin, right? You struggle and I struggle. But you, the promise of God, the word of God says, you have been set free from sin. And what that proclaims is, now if you're in Christ and you're willing to die, before you accepted Christ, you had no power to fight the sin. You were chasing after your own will. In Christ, now you have the power to be a living sacrifice. If you want to, you have the power to choose, all right, not to sin. It doesn't mean that you won't sin, but you have the power to choose not to sin. That is a great choice. And every one of us want to be free. And the freedom is not to sin is a great freedom. The world tells you these entrapments that makes you think that they're good. But you need to be freedom to have true peace in Christ. You are free. Just remember, hear this, fellow brothers and sisters. You have the power to be free from your sins. You have to trust God in that. Right? So next time, you will still struggle. It doesn't mean the power of God's not working. You have to continue to be a living sacrifice and struggle and ask the question, how can I please God in my actions, in my thoughts, in my attitude? And then, by the mercy of God, may you will to do that act. You are free not to sin. That is powerful. Right? Romans 6, 7. For one who died has been set free from sin. Now, if you have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live in him. And that life, man, I'm just telling you, if you die that way, the fellowship that you would have with Christ is even sweeter. You're going to share, and I mentioned it one time, you will share in the fellowship of suffering. Something very sweet about when friends go through troubled times together, all right, it is a whole lot better than having like a whole mess of joyful time. Some of my best friends are the people I cried with. Some of my best friends are the people who cried on my shoulders. The people who are closest to me don't only share the good times. Those are the friends who can share the tough times. And when you share in this dying, you are closest to this, our Lord Jesus Christ. You will understand his pains and his resurrection. The joy of fellowshipping with Jesus in that intimate way, I think it's an overwhelming joy already. Actually, the most beautiful time is when my sister and I, you know, went through troubled times together. The best time, my brother and I, is when we got into trouble together and got out of trouble together. yes. Or when my friends, you know, really had issues and we worked through them together. We had that fellowship. And ultimately, being close to Christ is actually the greater joy of any things that we can experience. Right? Taste that freedom. So you are free. All right? And I can see with my eyes of faith that there is a better horizon, better future, better life that you can have if you don't hang on and put yourself in the center of the universe and always thinking, what can I get out of it? You'll be much freer, much more just free from yourself, actually, which is the most burdensome thing of all, all right? And the funny thing is you deny yourself, you're free from yourself, you get to enjoy yourself more. The most relaxed people are the people who don't take themselves overly seriously. When you say something, what do you mean, right? You don't want that, right? But people who really have, like, just really at peace with themselves, they're not the center of the universe, they go, oh, that's not a nice tie. You go, oh, yeah, tell me what else tie I can get. They're chilled, right? You want around people who have actually died to themselves because they're more present with you. Because, yeah, they don't react. People who have not died themselves are very reactive. What do you mean by that? Right? Why'd you do that for me? That is not Christ-like. But if you die to yourself, not to mean, you know, okay, you might not like that tie. I'm okay, because I'm not thinking about myself. Tell me why you don't like that tie. Actually, I was going to wear a Snoopy tie, but then I said, no, I'm not. You see? See, I'm not self-centered. I am centered upon you. That is so much more like Christ. He knew who he was, but he was not reactive. He loved you and me. If we are more like Christ, we have died to ourselves, we can be present with each other. Tell me what you don't like and what you like, and I won't, like, gouge your eyeballs out and give you attitude. Right? You want friends like that. But to have friends like that, you need to be a friend like that. You need to die to self so you can say to your friends, yeah, let's hang out. Let's chill. Yeah, I'm not going to be reactive. So with that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may you understand the joy, the gift, the power of dying to self. So in summary, what it means is basically what? You're not the center of your universe. You're not the sole purpose of your life. You're not. That's what. Dying to self is you're not the center. All right? Why? Christ set the examples. You are called to be his disciples. If he did it, just follow him. If he did it, oh, by no means are you going to escape that path, right? You're not that special. I'm not that special. We will have to go through the same passage that our Lord Jesus Christ went through, dying to have great life. How? All right? Ask yourself, how can I glorify God in my actions, my thoughts? Ask the question. What will please him most? What will make me more like Christ? Make choices that not benefits you, but transform your character to be more like Christ. That is how. The gain. You're going to have a life so much freer. So, so much freer. You're going to be free to enjoy yourself and others so much more. You're going to be closer to God because you share in the fellowship of his suffering, and you also share in the resurrected life that he has. All right? You're going to taste the goodness of God when you're free that way. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, you know, words cannot even grasp this beautiful gift of dying to self. What you set before us is a joy that's unfathomable. For the joy set before you, you died on the cross. And that's relationship with us. For now, I pray by the joy that you set before us, that we are willing to sacrifice in faith, that we know that if we die to ourselves, we will have a better resurrection. We will have a better life. We will be freer in you. We will be more empowered to love and to love you and to love others, Lord God. So I thank you for this truth, that death precedes life, but life is unstoppable in you. So we want to glorify you for giving us that motto in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we have the courage to follow that model, to live life fully. We bless your name because you are indeed our God and our Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.